Hi, this is Tom Heck, and today is the last day of February, February 28th, and it is Tuesday, 10:06 p.m. Eastern, and on the line with us tonight is Al and David and Bonnie, and we're going to be talking, and we might have some other folks join us during the call, and with a big resounding beep, and tonight we're going to be looking at Step 3, The Missing Secret, starting on page 97, and finishing on page, hold on here, on 129, there you go. So, as I mentioned earlier, I haven't thoroughly gone through and taken notes and everything, and so, though I can say that this chapter is the chapter that caused me to create a piece of paper that I carry with me all the time now. And it has the clearing exercise at the end of the chapter that's on page 128. And so I carry that with me along with my top goals and around prosperity, community, family, health, education, self-expression. And these are goals that my wife and I just sat down one night. We went out to dinner and we sat there, you know, wrote these out and wrote out our dream home. And so I carry these with me and print them out when they get torn up. So because of that, now reading them is a different story, but I thought the energy of it would be good. So I just thought I'd open with that.
Well, on your recommendation, I actually went straight to the prayer script, whatever that it's a prayer of sorts. And it was funny because it is, I printed up both. It seemed that he said that the woman said, "Oh, here's a better one."
Right.
And it's really funny because my printer printed the first one so I could read it, and the second one, it ran out of ink.
Well, there you go.
So I have to print the whole thing again, but you know, it was a relief to read that because one of so go ahead. I'm sorry, Tom. I was just going to say something, and I didn't mean to grab the platform. I didn't know if you had set the stage as much as.
Oh no, this is fine. This is fine. I think we're going to be probably all over this chapter tonight. It is a chapter. It just so happens, or this section anyway. So go ahead, Bonnie.
By the way, somebody did join us?
Yes, they did. Hi, this is Tom. Who just joined us?
This is Lewis. Lewis Green from Oklahoma City.
Hi, Lewis. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Lewis.
Hi there.
We've got Al, David, and Bonnie on the line with us tonight, too, and I'm Tom. So we just started talking about, actually, step three, the missing secret, starting on page 97, and working up to we actually started on page 128 and 127 about the script, as it is entitled. But I'm with you, Bonnie. It is a prayer in my mind.
And it's a relief because, you know, I've been studying this kind of stuff for a really long time. And if, in fact, I have to identify the belief in order to change it, and if I don't, then that belief can block my manifesting no matter how much I want and how hard I try and how hard I focus and how hard I vibrate, or high I vibrate, as the case may be. It's comforting to know that I can let miracles happen by invoking this prayer, and that I don't have to sit with somebody all the time who is going to be, because sometimes we can't identify our own beliefs, and it takes somebody else listening to us talk to go, "Oh, do you realize what you just said?" Or so I found it a comfort to know that when I know that I'm miscreating, when I know that I'm putting my attention on what I don't want, that I can say this and trust that a miracle is happening you know, whether it's angels or guides or who knows. I mean, it is really trust and faith at that point.
Well, you mentioned beliefs. I think that, you know, looking at page 98, one of the things I did highlight was that Joe says he's in relating a conversation he had, and he says, then we're right back to needing to unearth beliefs and get clear.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what Al, David, Lewis, what did you get out of this section, or what section steps out for you or impacts you?
Okay, this is David. You know, the beginning talks about focusing. Then you got to get clear about it. And then the very end is, you know, the spirituality of what he's talking about at the very end is almost inverse. Because you're actually wiping the negative first and then getting clear. So I like the way that played out. So you focus, you get clear. But then he had something very interesting, sort of near the end of the chapter, which is those yagyas.
Yes,
has anybody experienced that? Because that looks so promising and so powerful that tomorrow I am going to sign on to that website and participate some way, somehow.
Which one is that?
On page 125.
123 to 124.
Right. It goes through the whole thing. That's you're very right, Mark.
Okay. Yeah,
karmic surgery.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
And then on page 125, it gives you the website that Joe visited, where he actually got something significant for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So to me, this is exceedingly powerful, this chapter.
Al, have you done this part?
No, I have. No, I actually, when I read the book, I tried to go into, I did a search on this, and I kept, not that I was coming up empty, it just seemed like I was going around in circles.
Hmm.
And I was unable to ever get to the website. I'm looking at page 125 at that website there.
Yeah.
Right.
And it seems like I was, if I remember correctly, and I read this book way back in July. I wasn't able to get into it, but somebody in my mastermind group sent me a link. Or actually, he posted it on the TAF group. He apparently dealt with it, and he posted, I think, three links about a week ago because somebody else brought it up. But yeah, I was not able to use this website that's in this book.
Hmm.
Wow. So how do we get that from you, the link?
I'm going to assume that most of us are on the TAF list or group, and it was. You know what? I'll tell you what. I will send the email to Tom.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Tom, you'll distribute it.
Sure. Yes, I could do that. Or Al, you could send it out to the list again and just mention that, you know, during the call we talked about this because.
Done deal.
Okay. Yeah, that would be good.
That would be wonderful.
So David, you're inspired to do this.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, then
the message is exceedingly powerful here.
Yeah, well, so you're going to be our reporter on this.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. You sent me a link, and I'm ready to go for this.
I'm going to tell you, it's not cheap.
I was just going to say my impression, the way he ended that chapter, was that now, when you say not cheap, what do you mean?
And again, this is way back in July. I remember, like, it's probably somewhere between $100 and
$250. Mm-hmm. You know something? I can deal with that.
Okay, cool. That's great.
That's in the range I can live with. I was thinking you're going to lay on $10,000 to $20,000.
No.
That type I can... I'm willing to give it a try because I think the message will be that powerful.
Hmm.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
You know what? I'm going to give you a suggestion, and it's up to you whether or not you want to take it.
Cool.
There's a, you know that script you guys keep referring to on page 127?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Has anybody done it?
I've done it several times.
What did it do for you?
I'm not sure. It hasn't been like knock me in the side of the head type of, linking the two together.
Okay, I'm going to say, before I read The Attractor Factor,
mm-hmm.
Joe sent out a few weeks prior, I think the book came out in May or June, I don't remember, but a few weeks prior, he sent out an email in regards to, I think his name is Jason Magnum or something like that.
The healer guy?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Healer friend?
No. It was another marketing type of guy.
Yeah.
And he set up a software with that script.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I got the link. And before I ever read the book, I clicked on that link, did the script. Within 2 weeks at the most, my life started changing.
Yeah.
So what I can do, two things I will do. I'll send you the other links we just mentioned, and I will send you this link. David, what I'm suggesting is,
okay,
try this link out. It's called Use Manifest Software.
Okay.
Try it out for about 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
Then I'll do nothing for you. Then go to the other. This is free.
Okay.
And then what you can do, is perhaps do it for 4 days, and then if it doesn't do nothing for you, try the other one for 3 days, and then you can tell us how it went next week.
Okay.
But
if I decide to do the 7 days on that new thing, then I can't report. I'll report to you one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like I'd like to get everybody's perspective on why clearing the blocks. I know this sounds sort of nonsensical, but clearing a block is even necessary.
Now, to me, the block is preventative.
Yeah, but I guess if I'm focusing on what I desire,
uh-huh,
and it feels good, you know, all that aspect, it seems like that is so powerful that it wouldn't be hampered by a block, which I guess is a belief, you know, a deep held belief or something even deeper. I mean, this the script or the yagyas are suggesting that there's something generational.
Okay, Tom, you want the answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody listening?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, here we go. Factual, scientific, and metaphysical. So it covers both areas. I'm going to spell it out. I'm going to tell you flat out why this is necessary. Number one, from the time you were a toddler to this moment, everything you saw, everything you heard, everything you felt, everything you experienced, unless you were intelligent or smart enough, became part of your belief system.
Say that last part again. You broke up. That everything that you heard, felt,
saw, experienced, everything. Unless you were intelligent or aware, that's a better word, it became part of your belief system.
Got it.
Therefore, once you've accepted it as a belief, it becomes your truth. And from that moment on, regardless of what it is, that truth is what you function by. And it doesn't matter who it came from. If it came from religion, from society, from your parents, from your peers, from your friends, from your next door neighbor, whomever, whatever you saw, it could be a situation, a scenario, a consequence, a decision, a thought, an action. Everything that you saw in front of you, if you believed it to be true, it became your truth. And so what you need to do is to rearrange what you believe to be true, or shift it, or refocus. That's number one. Number two, and what Tom just brought about generational, this is also scientific. Where does your DNA come from? Your parents. Where does your parents' DNA come from? Your grandparents. Where does their DNA come from? Your great-grandparents. What is DNA? DNA is intelligence that resides in every single cell of your body. Every single cell has intelligence, and that intelligence is what makes each person unique. Well, guess what? You've got the intelligence that's been passed on from the word get-go. You, it's been passed on to you. But here's the thing. We are powerful spiritual beings that we can do two things right off the bat if you decide, and the script will do it for you. Number one, you can refocus or shift or transform or change or whatever adjective you want to use. You can change your experiences to be what you want them to be. And number two, you can say at this point in time, right now, you can say whatever past ancestral or generational experiences there may have been that have been passed on to me, spirit, between you and I ends here now. From this moment on, it stops, because from this moment on, everything is new and I am perfect. And at that point, it stops. You know, you hear people saying, oh, yeah, it runs in my family. Every other generation gets cancer. Or every other generation has twins, or every generation has this, or this, that. Well, what are you doing? You're feeding what past generations have given you. But if you say at this moment, it ends here, everything is new, and I am perfect, because in every moment of your life, everything's brand new. But unless you, if you choose, to, like most people do, choose to carry the past from behind you and bringing with you, it's like carrying excess baggage, then therefore that's what you're going to get, because you're willing to carry the past with you. I didn't mean to get carried away, but
you know, it's interesting. I don't know if any of you have heard of a guy named Michael Rice, R-Y-C-E. His book and one of his videos and programs is called Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Who was it that just spoke? David?
That was Al.
Oh, that was Al.
Okay. Michael also talks about the generational learning and being passed on. And Tom, I heard you say, if I hold a high enough vibration, why do I have to go in and do that work?
Right.
Did I hear you right?
Essentially, yes.
And what's interesting, Al, is I asked the same question, Tom, and I've heard the same answer that Al gave. As a matter of fact, I was just in the support group for the Michael Rice work this evening and watched him explain how the beliefs that are buried in our unconscious are what we see the world give us. You know, the beliefs filter our experience. Our experiences are filtered through the beliefs, and so what we get makes the beliefs right. I've asked the same question as you, Tom. Absolutely. I think that the challenge is that we can't hold a high enough vibration if beliefs keep, it's almost like the analogy of the crabs pulling people back, the other crabs back into the crab container. You know, the beliefs pull our vibration back down. It's like it resets, the default resets in spite of our intention. And that's part of where it gets, you know, pretty crazy making. It's like, you're telling me, ask and it's given. You're telling me, you know, get clear about what I want, hold the vibration. If that's all it took, man, wouldn't we, that have been studying this a while, be manifesting like crazy? I mean, part of what I keep asking myself lately is, you know, what did I do that I ended up where I am right now? Because it's sure not what I want.
Can I reply, or is somebody else going to reply?
Sure.
Well, I think we have maybe Ken just joined us.
I did, and I have a great quote that I think speaks to that, but Al, go first.
Wow, Ken, you just jumped right. I love it.
Hi, Ken.
Ken was emailing me here, and luckily I checked my email. Sorry, Ken, about that, the site being down.
No problem. So who goes first, Al?
Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. This is actually a quote from the book about The Secret, if anybody checked that out, The Master Key System. It's a bit long, but, you know, it's 20 seconds. Here it goes. All natural laws are irresistible. The law of gravitation or electricity or any other law operates with mathematical exactitude. There is no variation. It is only the channel of distribution which may be imperfect. If a bridge fails, we do not attribute the collapse to any variation of the law of gravitation. If a light fails us, we do not conclude that the laws governing electricity cannot be depended upon. And if the law of attraction seems to be imperfectly demonstrated by an inexperienced or uninformed person, we are not to conclude that the greatest and most infallible law upon which the entire system of creation depends has been suspended. We should rather conclude that a little more understanding of the law is required, for the same reason that a correct solution of a difficult problem in mathematics is not always readily available and easily obtained.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
And what book is that from?
It's a free ebook you can get about the Master Key System by Charles F. Pennell. I mean, it's the whole The Secret that has been kind of bouncing around the web.
The Secret as in the movie?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, it's sort of the basis of what the movie is based on.
Okay.
So, but,
can you maybe send Tom the web address for the ebook?
Absolutely. It was already mentioned on our list once, but it's kind of, you kind of have to dig for it, so I'll make it easier.
Yeah, actually, yeah, just send it to the list.
Okay.
You know, it makes me think that there ought to be a website where all these different resources and links would be.
Well, actually, I think Susan does have some of these links.
At where does she post them?
On the actual Yahoo group.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a section where it says links.
Okay.
But I don't know which one. I know she has links on there, and I'm almost sure she has the one about the script. I don't know if she has the one about the whatever they're called, the other ones.
Yes. The Yacht Guys?
Yeah. I don't think she has those, but I know I'm almost positive she has the other one from Jason.
In any case, I'll send it out to the group. It's a long book, and it's kind of hard to read, but there's some good parts to it. But coming in late on the call, I hope that helps. That it sounded like, you know, you're in kind of the same place that I've been about this. You know, how do we know if this is, you know, something that's real if it hasn't been working for us?
Okay, I'm going to interject here.
Yes.
One thing we all have to do, okay? And I got to tell you this, and if you can understand this, and I think I remember somebody bringing this up last week. Everything that you see in front of you is a reflection of what's inside you.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that's in front of you that does not exist inside you. All we are doing is, like I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, we had a projector in our chest, and the lens was pointing out to the world. What we see in front of us is what's going on inside of us. All we have to do now, here's the part, is take full responsibility and acknowledge that what we see in front of us is coming from within us. And I'm not talking about blame or fault. And I'm not talking about ego either. I'm talking about just acknowledging and say, hey, look, what's going on in front of me, what I see in here, it's coming from within me. Now, if you're willing to accept that and allow that to be a truth, then let's go a step forward. And I'm going to go back to you, Bonnie. If you keep repeating, like you said tonight, that you're having challenge is in going into a higher vibration, and then it all comes falling apart because no matter what you do, it's not going to work. That's exactly what you're going to get, because that is within you. So if you keep telling yourself, this is how I see things, this is how I feel about things, well, the law of attraction or the principle of reciprocation, however you want to look at, whatever principle, whatever law you want to look at, whatever you're speaking, the spoken word, your thought, your actions, whatever, you're going to project it. So what you do is, at some point in time, you got to say, you know what? It stops here. It stops now. And you start accepting, like I said earlier, in this moment, everything is new, and I am perfect. There is no other way, because in every moment, everything is new, and you are perfect, unless you decide to carry the baggage of the past. Then that's your choice.
Thanks, Al.
No problem.
Well, so the past, obviously it seems to play into this this formula that Joe talks about, as opposed to just obviously focusing on what we desire, what I desire, and as we'll go talk about later, I mean, there's a releasing piece to this too. But you know, it's the choosing, I think, to maybe it's choosing to move forward with a clean slate, so to speak, and not be encumbered by those things. I mean, the past and beliefs I get, the ones that I'm that I carry around with me, it's the others, the implication of, you know, for example, these what is he calling them, the karmic surgery is, the whole, you know, generations and past lives and all of that, that's also playing into this. So another, I guess there's another piece in here about burning paper on page 121.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody done that? The taking two sheets of paper?
No, I read that today and didn't get to do that. But
yeah.
It sounds powerful. It really does.
And now, Bonnie, and if you were to do that, because that's what you choose to believe, then do it, because then it will be powerful. But Ken can do it, and it might not do nothing for him, because to him it might not mean nothing.
Right.
But because to you it's powerful, burning those pieces of paper and writing down everything you could think of on a piece of paper and lighting it and watch it go up in ashes, that might just transform your whole being.
Yes.
Because you believe it to be powerful.
So
a lot of time I think, you know what, I gotta write it all down and stomp on it a few times and crumble it up and throw it in the garbage can. You know,
right.
whatever your beliefs are is what's going to transpire.
So I have an interesting question for you, because this is something that I'm curious about. If, you know, I've been studying exercise and meditation and brain chemistry and all these other things, and I have wanted to believe that by willing it, by deciding it so, I could change my brain chemistry or my hormones. And on one level, I can see that it's possible, and on another level, I guess there's enough doubt there that I'm not doing it. And so it's take the hormones or the meds or whatever to get the brain, the body to work better, but if I just believed hard enough, I mean, that's confusing to me.
Listen to what your words are saying. If I believe hard enough.
Right.
You know what? It's beyond believing hard enough. It's an inner knowing. It's a trust. You know, some people talk about faith. You know, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. Well, you know what's a more powerful word than faith? Trust.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to add another powerful phrase to that? Inner knowing. You just know. You just know. You just know. And not only do you know, you trust.
You know, Joe talks a lot about, what he does is he sends a thought out and then just lets it go. Because he has such powerful belief in the thought, he doesn't need to dwell on it.
Absolutely.
He sends it out into the expanding universe. And the energy is going to take it where it's going to go. And he has belief in it, and that's it. Then he moves on to the next thing, because he knows something's going to occur. He knows it. You're talking, this is interesting. You're talking about something, what I call a cathartic release. You're releasing the negativity in you. Because if you keep coming back that it's not going to work, it's not going to work, because your beliefs are going to fulfill what you believe there.
Right.
So it's not a trite thought to think that you can't think negativity and expect positivity. It's an impossibility for those two to exist on the same plane. You can't be at the same location, negative and positive, at the same time. So, I just like Joe's idea. I'm thinking so well, so positive, radiating so much, I send it out and it's going to happen.
And thinking otherwise is just a habit, and it's just changing the habit, and it can be instant.
Yeah, we all have that negative habit because we all got the genetic buildup of all the stuff that we carry, just like Al said. So we've got to sort of redesign it.
Okay, now you just gave me an opening.
Tommy, go for it.
All right, want me to keep quiet for a little bit here.
What's that, Al?
Do you mind if I speak up here?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. I'm gonna give you guys really something easy, very simple. It is very simple beyond your wildest dreams. First of all, before I go there, I am forever grateful for the Attractive Factor book. I have some awesome stories because of this book. It has done wonders for me, including what I'm about to bring up. I've also wrote a book, and it's going to be published in 2 months, in April, actually. And the ebook and the CD are selling. But I'm going to tell you something here that's part of my book. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to buy the book. Here it is. People, gurus, self-help people, everybody you can think of, they tell you you got to release. You got to transform. You got to forgive. You got to change. They come up with all these words to tell you what you need to do in order for you to move forward in regards to your past. Okay, I'm going to throw a question at you before I continue. What if everything in your past is for your best and highest good, regardless of what it is? What if everything in your past is for your best and highest good? Now, okay, let's take that a step further. What if you shift everything that's happened in your past and now mandate it or affirm it or intend it or command it and say, everything that has happened prior to this moment is now for my best and highest good. What have you done? You have changed your past experiences because you are proclaiming it to be for your best and highest good. And what I mentioned just a little while ago about the DNA of generations, you are telling Spirit, God, Source, whatever you want to call it, that for everything that's happened before this moment is for my best and highest good. Well, guess what? Everything in your past has now become a blessing or an opportunity because it has brought you to this moment. The moment of opportunity to move forward. You automatically shift your, you automatically transform your past. You automatically release your past. You automatically forgive your past because you have shifted it. And now you know what? Now that you've shifted your past, your perspective, your perception has changed. Your vibrancy has changed because now you're functioning from a past that's for your best and highest good. No more trying to meditate and trying to come up with all this junk. No more having to go to counseling and say, you know what, I got to forgive this person, I got to forgive that, I got to release this, and I got to transform that. You know what? Just shift it. Even if you only shift it 1 degree, what have you done? You have changed your perception, your perspective of your past. And therefore, your vibration goes up because you automatically say, hey, everything that has transpired before this moment is for my best and highest good. Well, guess what? In that moment, because of that energy, you're creating and attracting for your best and highest good. Let's take it a step further. Now you're creating something for your future for your best and highest good. Again, the Tractor Factor book helped me a great deal. It brought me so much clarity. It is incredible. But I tell you what, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't have to be a struggle. It does not have to be a challenge. It does not have to be difficult. It is very simple. Shift your perception. Because once you do that, you function from a whole different vibration.
So, Al, let me see if I get this. Okay, so, because this is very spiritual for me. So if what I'm understanding you're saying is you're almost going to a level of spirit of life, saying you're grateful to the spirit of life no matter what's happened in your past because it's brought you to where you are now, which
Absolutely.
Is a cosmic shift, at which point you can now move forward. Because
Absolutely.
You're grateful for your whole life.
Absolutely. Every ounce of it, every segment, every moment, every
yes.
stereo, everything.
Right. Because it's led you to now.
Exactly.
So all this, you got to forgive, you got to do 200 years worth of therapy, you got to take Ritalin, you got to take all this other drugs, is nonsense.
Hogwash.
Clear.
Huh?
Very
you know
clear.
What? Let me tell you something. You know what? You go to 10 years of counseling and you dig up all this junk. What's it going to do? It's going to bring you back down. Okay, then they tell you, okay, now you got to forgive. You got to forgive this person. And you got to do this and you got to do that. You know what? When you lend somebody $10,000 and then he give it back to you, you became angry and you held this grudge for the next 10 years. And all of a sudden, one day you look at it and say, I remember that, but now that's for my best and highest good. Because it brought me to this moment. What have you just done? You've automatically forgiven that person without even saying that word.
Right.
You've transformed the whole scenario, the whole consequence, the whole circumstance, that whole moment. You transform. And you know what? You are the master of your life. You dictate how you see things. You dictate what's inside you. And if you dictate to yourself and command and say, you know what, Spirit, between you and I, that is for my best and highest good. What are you doing? You raise your vibration automatically.
Al, I need your book. When you bring that out, you let us know. I need that. You're very clear on that. That's really insightful.
Actually, the e-book and the CD is already available now. It's been selling since December, or November, I should say. It's selling
very
worldwide.
Clear. Very clear. Thanks.
Ken, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Just wanted to check.
Yeah, what's funny is it's almost a catch-22 that once you have the belief that this stuff is for real, it probably all falls into place. For me, I have like a tremendous amount of intellectual understanding of these principles. I could so well that I could teach them, but I don't have the experience. I don't have the belief, and that's been sort of my quest.
Ken, and I told Bonnie just a little while ago.
Yes.
You need to hear what you're saying, because and again,
right.
If you keep saying I don't have the belief, and you keep reaffirming that, that's what you're going to get.
Okay.
It's just like I just said right now that my hope passes for my best and highest good. That's what I'm going to get. So not only you need to be careful with what you think, you also need to be careful with what you say, because whatever you think and say is inside you.
But if I'm still sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out if what I think of this, it's a hard you can't just jump in the game until
well,
you.
Why can't you?
If it's a good game to play.
Why can't you?
Why can't I?
Yeah.
Well, I'll level with you. I've been reading some of Abraham's teachings lately. I know that's slightly off topic, but bear with me. And
no, it's actually on topic.
Good. On the topic of allowing,
right.
Being an allower. I kind of feel like being an allower is possibly being an enabler, letting some bad things in the world continue to go on, rather than doing something about them, taking some action. And I know the conscious creation standpoint that, you know, once I start focusing on this, my attention on some bad things in the world, I just draw more of it to me, and I'm more aware of the fact that it's out there. I'm struggling with that one big point of being an allower, becoming is really being an enabler.
Ken, this is Tom. Can you
sure.
Elaborate? Not so much elaborate it, but personalize it. For example, what is it specifically an example of
okay.
where you could see
that's
that happening?
My wife and I are trying to adopt.
Right.
And it's really hard and sort of sad to be, you know, to look at all the profiles of the children that are available for adoption, because there's a lot of unwanted children out there. And most of this is because of neglect. The number one reason why kids end up in foster care. Mm-hmm. And number two reason is abuse. And it's just hard to kind of put into perspective how a child who has really no, you know, very, very little programming and very little choice in these matters, how they got kind of wrapped into this. And I feel like just being an allower allows people to continue to abuse their kids without sort of taking a stand and trying to become an advocate for it.
Hmm.
I feel like this is just one of those many issues of the world that we're kind of turning our eyes to, turning our minds to.
It sounds like that you also have a belief around the degree, at what point do we choose
right.
our path? I mean, when I talk to my mother about this stuff, you know, I believe that I chose my parents before I ever showed up.
Yeah,
and my kids, that there's an agreement, you know, on a prior to ever showing up on this physical plane, that you know we've agreed somehow to play these things out and have these experiences and with these certain people, and so for example, I believe that on some spiritual level, my kids chose to show up in my life, you know, those particular
yeah.
souls,
right.
And so I think that there's a at what point do you say someone's choosing to be there and they're in control, or they're not in control and therefore they're a victim? So what I'm hearing you say is that you sense that these kids are victims.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's I think that. That's something to explore. At what point are you not a victim, and what point are you, or are there victims?
And trust me, I've been struggling with these types of things.
Yeah.
It's hard because the it's easy for me to look at life as a salad bar and to not, you know, I don't like olives, and I don't mind that
other people eat olives, and my wife loves olives, and I let those sort of exist in the world without complaining about it. But there's just some things, there's a couple of thorns, some things like I just can't stay quiet about.
Yeah, well, and that's the struggle of what you're
right.
saying, allowing yeah. allowing something to be the way it is. Is
okay,
that what you're suggesting?
Right. How about a different perspective from allowing?
Okay.
Do we all agree that we're all energy?
Yes.
Yes, I
do.
Believe that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to assume that we all believe that everything is energy.
Right.
Okay. That being the case, energy is neutral. There is no such thing as good or bad. There is no such thing as wrong or right. Everything just is. The only time it ever becomes good or bad or right or wrong is because what our perceptions are.
Right.
So now, if that's the case, if we get to decipher what's in front of us, if it's good or bad or right or wrong, what if we looked at everything as either an opportunity or a blessing? Understand this. Everything in God's creation, every conceivable thing, that all of creation is here to grow, to succeed, to progress. Creation that's not, well, no, the only creation that has free will and free choice is us. But everybody else, from a blade of grass to a tree to a caterpillar to a deer to a dog to a cat, everything else, they are here to grow and succeed and progress in their lives. Even the homeless people try to survive because it is their nature. It's creation's nature to move forward. And if that's the case, then everything in front of us is either a blessing or an opportunity because it's there for us to move forward, either to learn, to grow, or a blessing.
Right.
So if you don't want to believe that we allow or allowers of a whole bit, then look at it from this angle, that everything in front of us, irregardless of what it is a blessing or an opportunity. There is no other way.
You know, Ken,
yes.
It could be that at this precise moment, the spirit of life has put you in the crux and actually wants you to be in a situation where you have to make a definitive move. If you are so outraged that all of these children have incurred something negative towards them to put them into that strait, mm-hmm. and you were put in sort of their energy path,
yeah.
then maybe it's your mission to help in that vein.
But I've listened to the Abraham talks about being a allower, and they even speak to how kids aren't victims, that they're picking up on the psychic sort of vibrations of those around them, and Al made another explanation that perhaps their soul chose that path. It's still hard for me to swallow this.
But look at it this way.
Yeah.
Look at it. You've been presented with an opportunity.
Right.
Okay? Now, if you want to look at this opportunity as being good or bad, that's your prerogative.
Right.
But why take it there? We all agree we're all energy, and energy is neutral. Then it's your perception that it's bad or wrong. Why are you going there? It's an opportunity. Everything in our lives is an opportunity or a blessing. There is no other way.
We've done foster care too, so we even, you know, we've basically taken in the kids that just got pulled out of their home, got picked up at bus stations and stuff, and it's just hard to, you know, like Abraham says, they say that you can't, don't push up against the problem, push up. Start working towards the solution.
Mm-hmm.
That you'll be at a higher vibrational level. But
I
think that's the best advice that I, you know, could have. It's just I can't get past sort of wondering if these beliefs sort of lead us to be less observant and less charitable to others, and you know, because we're looking the other way, because we're vibrationally ignoring some of these things.
If I came across that way, but because I'm not telling you to ignore it.
No.
I'm telling you is see what you see in front of you and understand this. And here's and I said this earlier. You need to understand this. What you see in front of you, you created. I don't care if the mother and father beat the crap out of this kid, and this kid looks like mulch because he got his, you know what, but yeah. You created that. You whatever you see in front of you, it happened because you for whatever reason, you have that inside you somewhere.
Right.
Okay, now, if that being the case, now there's your opportunity. You look at the scenario, and granted, you acknowledge that you don't like it. You acknowledge and say, you know what, this just doesn't feel right. But you know what? You look at it as an opportunity and say, what am I going to do with this opportunity? What am I going to do with this blessing?
Right.
I want to tie this into Joe's thoughts.
Okay.
Dr. Vitale. Okay, Ken. You've got two sides of a sheet of paper.
Uh-huh.
You need to write down, I don't like what's going on with these children. Right. Write down as many things as you can. Then you take that paper, you flip it over. You write on the other side, this is what I would like to see happen in relation to these children. And you go from there, because you are not clear on those two sides of the paper.
I know.
And reviewing this chapter, you've got the negativity on one side, write it down. I don't like their abuse. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. The other side, I want this to happen. 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 You got to be clear here.
Yeah.
And then you got to move forward with it.
Yeah.
Because you're not clear.
I'll give that a try. I agree. I'm completely not clear. It's.
You already know what you don't like.
Yeah.
You just told us. Write it as many as you can.
Right.
Then do what Joe says, 180. This is what I want to see happen to those children. This. I don't want them ever abused. I want to be involved. I don't like what's happening. This. You got to get clear here.
We want to adopt them all, but we can only pick one.
Well, you know, you might be able to put yourself where you can help these children get adopted all.
Maybe.
It might not be you. But you might be able to set up a network where you can have thousands of you.
I know.
But you need to be clear here.
Well, I'll give that a try. I'll give that a try. And thanks for everyone to listening.
Ken, you reminded me of a website I was at a couple days ago. And I think it was a meditation website, or I can't remember. Anyway, it was there was a puzzle on the website, and it had these pictures of these five frogs sitting on a fence, and it said, if there are five frogs sitting on a fence, and two decide to jump off, how many frogs are left sitting on the fence? And I remember what I put down. What would you say?
Three.
That's what I said. And then, you know, you click through and it said, there's five frogs. Because deciding to do it is different than doing it.
Oh.
And wow. And your angst over the what's going on with these children is different. Your concern, your heartfelt concern, I really get that. That's different than, taking action and doing something about it.
Right.
Because you can be in that place of angst and upset and grief for a long time.
Yeah.
And that still has, you know, it reminds me of something I heard Wayne Dyer say. I also heard Marianne Williamson say it, which is, you can't get sick enough to help all the sick people in the world.
Wow.
You can't get poor enough to help all of the poor people in the world. And in your case, you can't get upset enough or sad enough. Maybe I'll put it that way. You can't get sad enough to help all those children.
Right. Wow.
But you know, you can get clear enough to help them.
You can
get
clear.
Because like on a row of dominoes, if you push over the first domino and you're clear enough,
yeah,
the rest of the dominoes flow.
Well, I'll have to give that a try.
And the domino, though, is not thinking about hitting the domino.
No.
You strike the domino. There's a period of, will I strike the domino or not? Should I do this? What's going to happen in my life if I do that?
Yeah.
And what's going to change? And where does that take me? And what about, you know, all these other commitments I have? And because once they all start to go, my life is going to change. And so, just something to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, we're running over time. I want to thank you. It's been absolutely sensational.
Yeah.
Al, send us that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, Al.
I appreciate it.
Al, you're
thanks, Tom, for hosting. I appreciate it.
So we'll see you next week for step number four.
Four.
Tuesday
night.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank
everybody.
You.
Thanks, Tom.
Take
care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.